Hiram grimaced. Much of that won't make pretty viewing. But the Pope is smart. Better the church should do this first than somebody else. Even so, it's going to make Christianity fall apart like a sandcastle, and the other religions will follow.
Are you sure?
Hell yes! Hiram's eyes gleamed in red light. Didn't Bobby expose Revelation Land as a fraud dreamed up by a criminal?
Actually, David thought, though Bobby helped, that was Kate Manzoni's triumph. Hiram, Christ was no Billy Bob Meeks.
Are you sure? Do you think you could bear to find out? Could your church bear it?
Perhaps not, David thought, but we must fervently hope so.
Hiram had been right to drag him out of his monkish academic cell, he realized, to see all this. It was wrong of him to hide away, to work on the worm cam with no sense of its wider implications. He made a resolution to immerse himself in the cam's application as well as its theory. Hiram looked up at the hull of the sun.
I think it's getting colder. Sometimes it snows here. Come on.
He began to work the invisible abort buttons on his helmet. David peered up at the splinter of light that was distant Sol, and imagined his soul returning home, flying from this desolate beach up to that primal warmth. 15. Confabulation. Bobby found the interview room, in the bowels of this aging courthouse, deeply depressing. The dingy walls looked as if they hadn't been painted since the turn of the century, and even then only in government-issue pale green. And it was in this room that Kate's privacy was to be flayed, piece by piece. Kate and her attorney, an unsmiling, overweight woman, sat on hard plastic chairs behind a scuffed wooden table, on which sat an array of recording devices. Bobby himself was perched on a hard bench at the back of the room, there at Kate's request, the only witness to this strange tableau. Clive Manning, the psychologist appointed by the court to Kate's case, was standing at the front of the room, tapping at a soft screen fixed to the wall. Worm cam images, dimly lit and suffering a little fisheye distortion, flickered as Manning sought his starting point. At last, he found the place he wanted. It was a frozen image of Kate with a man. They were standing in a cluttered living room, evidently in the middle of a heated row, screaming at each other. Manning, tall, thin, bald, 50-ish, took off his wire spectacles and tapped the frame against his teeth. A mannerism Bobby was already finding gratingly irritating, the spectacles themselves an antiquated affectation.
"What is human memory?" Manning asked.
He gazed at the air as he spoke, as if lecturing an invisible audience, as perhaps he was.
"It certainly is not a passive recording mechanism like a digital disc or a tape. It is more like a storytelling machine. Sensory information is broken down into shards of perception, which are broken down again to be stored as memory fragments. And at night, as the body rests, these fragments are brought out from storage, reassembled and replayed. Each run-through etches them deeper into the brain's neural structure. And each time a memory is rehearsed or recalled, it is elaborated. We may add a little, lose a little, tinker with the logic, fill in sections that have faded, perhaps even conflate disparate events. In extreme cases, we refer to this as confabulation. The brain creates and recreates the past, producing, in the end, a version of events that may bear little resemblance to what actually occurred. I believe it's true to say that everything I remember is false.
Bobby thought a note of awe entered Manning's voice.
This frightens you, Kate said, wondering. I'd be a fool not to be frightened. We're all complex, flawed creatures, Kate, stumbling around in the dark. Perhaps our minds, little transient bubbles of consciousness adrift in this overwhelmingly hostile universe, need an inflated sense of their own importance, of the logic of the universe in order to summon up the will to survive. But now the worm cam, without pity, will never again let us evade the truth.
He was silent for a moment, then smiled at her.
Perhaps we will all be driven mad by truth. Or perhaps, stripped of illusion at last, we will all become sane, and I will be out of a job. What do you think?
Kate, wearing a drab black one-piece, sat with her hands tucked between her thighs, her shoulders hunched.
I think you should get on with your show and tell.